1 Samuel chapter 14. That was a great song, amen? Great truth. He is worthy. He is worthy. You know, we just sang a world evangelism song. Every tribe and tongue and nation. I certainly want to see that happen. I want to read a passage of scripture with you in just a minute. We're going to read like 10 or 12 verses, if that's okay. And we're going to go back through that. I want to talk to you about doing something great for God. I was saved on May the 6th, 1962, at Wrigley Baptist Church. It's a little hole in the wall in Tennessee. And I was 7 years old. I would be eight. I saved in May. I'd be eight in August. And I'll be honest with you, ever since I was a kid, I just wanted God to use me. I hope that's what you want. How many of you want God to do something special with you? If you do, say amen. You know, we don't all go do the same thing, but I just want God to use me. I was a little kid, and I'd watch that old preacher. You know, he probably wasn't old. He's probably 35 or 40. He's like my daddy's age. But when you're seven, everybody's old. Is that a fair statement? And I used to watch him preach. I get, by the way, that church now supports our missionaries. And it's a little Southern Baptist church. Now it's an independent church. And now they support our missionaries. And, I was on vacation. Well, I told Betty, I said, we're going to sneak out of here. And we're going to go. Our church meets on Thursday. And I said, I want to go to Tennessee. And I'm going to go in incognito. And I'm just going to be in jeans and a shirt so nobody know who I am. Nobody recognize me. And we're going to go to church at Wrigley. Hadn't been there since probably 65. This is about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember exactly when. And got there, and there were 17 people there counting us. So I'm just sitting there hoping nobody will notice me. And, of course, there are 17 people. Everybody's noticed, amen? And the pastor goes, well, glad to see you here there, sir. What are you doing here? Like, man, we don't do that in bigger churches, you know. Kind of treat visitors a little more deference than that. And I said, well, just to be blunt honest with you, I wanted to come home. It's where I got saved when I was a little boy. The song leader was just a layman there, and he goes, when was that? And so we just had a conversation right in the middle of church. I told him Brother Carlton Flowers was preaching, and I told him all the story. And that church has since taken on our missionaries and everything. It's one of the biggest thrills in my life. All the missionaries that work with us, whenever they go down to Interstate 40, they go by Bucksort, they all turn off and go look for my church. They take their picture in front of it, and now they support probably 10 of our guys. And I just remember as a little boy, I want to do something for God. I just want to do something for God. I didn't know what I could do. I remember one time a person came in that was lost, and I'm like 8 years old, and I said, now God, this is how I want to get, I'm going to be involved in this here tonight. I'm going to pray them down to the altar. So I'm a little big boy, and I just prayed the whole time. I said, God, save them. God, get a hold of them. God, drag them down. And I was praying. The invitation time came, and I looked up, and they went down and got saved. I was like, glory to God. Did you just see that? I just asked, and he did it. Boy, it blew my mind. Probably doesn't, I don't know, it might not affect you like it really blew my mind. And I was a little boy, and wanting to do something for God. And I went to school, and I was kind of dumb. I took my Bible to school, and public school. And I took my Bible to school, and they made fun of me. They said that I was homosexual, use other words. And they made fun of me because I wouldn't do anything with girls. I wouldn't drink, and I wouldn't smoke. And I was leading a Bible study and with a few students that would go to it. So they made fun of me. I dreamed that God would let me someday see and do something really special. So when it came time to go to college, I begged God to let me go to college and find one male friend, because all the people that would go to my little Bible studies were girls. They were the undesirables. The girls nobody wanted, and this one skinny, ugly kid, me. And I'm teaching a Bible study. And first out of school, I get to college. It's a Bible college. Suppose it's a university, but it's a Southern Baptist College for training young preachers. And I'm there, I think I have arrived in Mecca. I'm in heaven because these people are going to teach me how to say the Bible. And I'm there, and all of a sudden, this one guy comes out and he says, "Let's all go get a beer." And I just went, "Boy, I got to get out of here. I don't do that junk. I thought I was with preachers and Christians." So I'm thinking to myself, I got a stomach ache. I don't feel well. I got to unpack. I was trying to come up with anything, and this one guy there jumped up and said, "Beer, nothing. We don't need beer. What you need is Jesus." And he started giving out gospel tracts and preaching. I was going, because I wanted to do something with Jesus, but I was terrified. I think some of you might be. I'm going to read a story to you. I'm going to try to help you with that. I want to do something, but I wasn't bold. I can't even spell the word bold. He is bold all over. I mean, he just walks in the room and like, "Here comes bold." And I'm here comes timid. And so they had this little Bible study at night. It's called Vespers. And so they teach them the Bible. That guy was there teaching one night. And he said, "I want to see us lead this city to Christ while we're here. We didn't just come to go to school. We're going to do some soul winning." And I'm sitting there going, "Man, that guy's crazy. I'd sure like to be around that guy if he'd let me. I'd like to learn how to do that. I don't even witness to one person in my life. Even though I wanted to, I didn't know how to." And so he said, "I've been praying and God's impressed upon my heart that one of you are going to be my partner and you're going with me everywhere." And I'm sitting there going, "I know it wouldn't be me. Nobody ever chooses me." And afterwards, he called me over. He says, "You're the one." He told me, "You're the one." We go door knocking. He'd knock on the door and give the gospel. They'd even pray the prayer. We go to the next door. He said, "It's your turn." I'd witness. Nobody, nothing. So we go to the next door, and he'd lead them to Christ again. We go to the next door, not me. One day, I walked up to him, and I said, "It's time to go soul winning." He said, "I'm tired of it. Don't want to go today." I said, "I'm not moody. I may not be up, but I ain't down. I'm just kind of like..." And so I said, "We can't not go soul winning." He said, "Oh, hush. He always called me son." And so he had a whole Bible that fit in his hip pocket. We both weighed like 140 pounds dripping wet. And so he says to me, "Just hush and come with me." And so we walked out, and he walked over to a bar. We get to the door of the bar, and I'm like, I keep going. He said, "Oh, hush, just come on." We walked in the bar, and he walked up to the bar, and he takes out the Bible, and he goes, the guy says, "Can I help you?" He said, "No, sir, I can help you." Boom, threw the Bible down. He said, "The Bible says in Romans 3:10. I'm scared to death. I don't go in bars, and I definitely don't want to be in this bar. He turns on me. He said, "Get out the tracks. You're going to throw us out any minute." And he just preaches up a storm. I'm dreaming, but I ain't dreaming like that. One night he called me, and he said there was an exorcist came to the dirtiest movie been in the theaters at the time, way back. He called me and said, "We're going to movies tonight." I said, "I'm not going down there. That's a dirty movie. I'm not going down there." He said, "Just hush. Bring the tracks." And so I was like, "Oh, brother." So I go down there, and there's like hundreds of people waiting to get in. And he said, he's backed up. He pulled that Bible out like he always did. "Hey, y'all want to hear about the devil? I'm here to tell you what the Bible says about the devil. The Bible says..." He started preaching on it. He looked at me and said, "Give out the tracks now." I said, "Well, that's easy. You're sitting way back yelling at him. I got to get up and close and personal." He called me one night, and he said, "We're going to a rock concert." I said, "I don't go to rock concerts." He said, "Oh, hush, bring the tracks." So we went down and gave out the gospel tracks. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be used. I don't have his personality. And because of that, it was hard for me to surrender to be a preacher or missionary or do what I wanted to do. But I knew God wanted me to. They would go, there's two or three of us that went through school together. The other guy in the trio, he was a president of the student council. He was a president of the freshman class. He was good looking, big man on campus. Everybody liked him. I'm pimple faced, skinny, young, and terrified of my shadow. I have milked a cow every morning before school, milked a cow after school. I am more familiar with pigs and cows than people. And they went to the bowling alley, and Rick drove a 1947 Plymouth, and Steve would stand on the top of it and preach to people. They play the guitar, crowds would come around, and they preach. I couldn't do any of that, but I wanted to be used of God. So I want to take you to a Bible story. I'm going to give you three words, and that's all. You can write them down as we go through, and then we'll go back and share them with you. But read with me, if you would, 1 Samuel 14:6. I love this Bible story. The Bible says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, 'Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few.'" Now, if you want to write down the word dream beside this verse, because I think this is the dream. I'll come back and kind of sum it all up for you in a minute. But here's what's going on. There are Philistines, uncircumcised Philistines, the enemies of God. They have conquered God's people. There's a new king in town. His name is Saul. His son is Jonathan. He's the prince. There are no swords. I'll prove it to you in a minute. There's no swords and no spears. The Philistines have taken them all away. The only ones that got some are the king and his son. Nobody has a weapon. The Philistines don't want them to fight. And Jonathan dreams a dream. And I want you to look at the verse. He says in the verse, skip down to the last part of verse 6, "It may be." Would you underline that? "It may be." Jonathan said, "It is just possible that God might do something." It's just possible. It says, "It may be that the Lord will work for us." Now, he's out alone. It's just him and his armor bearer, and they're out by themselves. Armor bearer's carrying some of his weapons, and he's out by himself, and he goes up and he spies, and he said, "Look at that, man, there's Philistines. They're right here in our town. They're right here in what we're doing. This can't be. Something's got to be done about it." He turns the armor bearer. Now, let me explain something to you. There's an army up there. In a minute, he's going to kill 20 of them, and the rest of them are still standing there. And he looks up and he says, "Armor bearer, they shouldn't be here. We're God's people. Something ought to be done. You reckon God would use me? You reckon maybe God would work in my life?" So read on. He says this, "No restraint." Underline that. There's no limitations to our God. Our God can do anything. Our God has the power to take a nobody and let him learn Spanish when he shouldn't learn Spanish. Let him see churches built. Let him see things done, because our God is so powerful. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about who you are. It's not about what you can do. It's about a big God we serve. And it started off saying, "It may be, possibly. I wonder if God would." You know God could. And then look at what it says. Save. There's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Jonathan looks up and you know what the smartest move would have been that day? The smartest move would have been, "Run, get my dad. Bring the army. We're going to fight. Go get dad. Tell him we're right here. They're close to home. We need to fight." But Jonathan's like, "I'd just like to see if God do something with me. I'd just like to see if God do something with me. Don't make a lick of sense. It's really kind of dumb, to be blunt honest with you. Two guys going up against a garrison of Philistines? Kind of dumb. You going out soul winning and witnessing to somebody you don't know feels really dumb and hard, doesn't it? You stepping into a place and try to share Jesus. You discipling with somebody. You standing up and giving big money. I mean, a percentage of your money, and you giving that to the cause of God feels really dumb. The world tells us it's dumb." But he dreamed. He dreamed. "It may be that God would work for us." You know, there's no restraint to our God. He can work when there's a lot. He can work when there's a little, because it's our God. "I want to dream," he says. Now go with me. Verse 7. He said to his armor bearer, and his armor bearer said unto him, he tells his armor bearer, "Would you go?" His armor bearer said to him, "Do all that's in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them." Now write down the word "discover" beside that verse. Discover. You can write a subpoint so you know what it's talking about. They're going to take a risk. I'm going to go back through this and kind of sum it all up for you, but here's the story. So what you got, anybody thinks that God might do something with them. All of us dream dreams. I really believe that if you're saved, somewhere down deep inside of you, there's a hunger to do something. You're just not normal. There's something wrong with you. The Holy Ghost lives in you. and he gives you this hunger to do something. He filled us and empowered us and equipped us and gave us what we need so we could do something. I think we want to. I used to sit there, man, I want to be called to preach. I knew I felt like I was supposed to be a missionary, but I was going to be a doctor. I was going to be a medical missionary because I was Southern Baptist. That's what I knew about. I was just going to go operate on people. You know, you walk in the operating room and right before you put them under, say, do you know if you die today, you go to heaven? Because in a minute, I'm fixing to cut you open. No, I didn't know what I was going to do. But I wanted to be called to preach, man. Every time somebody preached, my heart would burn. I'd be like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could teach like that. Not like that. And anytime they let, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to lead singing when I was 7. I'd scream at the top of my lungs, turn all red face. I was so excited getting to do something for God. But I couldn't be called to preach because in my heart I wanted to, more than I could ever tell you. But I knew all of you'd laugh at me. I knew you would. I knew you wouldn't believe I could. I knew you'd believe Steve could. He was the guy that could stand on the top of the car and preach. I knew you'd believe Rick could. He played the guitar. He was good looking. Everybody liked him. I knew y'all believed he could. But I knew nobody believed I could. I knew everybody look at me and think, oh, you got a pipe dream there, son. It ain't never going to happen. But see, when the dream starts, you must discover yourself. You must risk yourself. Talk's cheap. Dreams are cheap. Arbor Bear. You know our God's big, Arbor Bear. Yeah, he is. You know our God can take them out, many or few. Yeah. I think we'll just go up there and do something. Sure, my heart's with you, whatever you want. He said, all right, let's discover ourselves. Now watch what he does. Read the verse. He says, we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place, and we will not go unto them. But if they say, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they hid themselves. Now watch. They had to climb up on their hands and knees. The armor bearer, supposed to have the armor and go in front, you know, put the shield up for him. He's behind him like a good deacon, you know, let the preacher take a risk and I'll follow along behind. And they climb up there and this is like the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, it's dumb. Jonathan said, here's what we'll do. We'll stand up there where they see us. I'll whip out my sword and I'll say, hey, here we are. Two of them. He said, if they say, stand, we'll just, I don't know what's going to happen. But if they say, come here, that means we're going to win. That don't make a lick of sense. I'd rather stood and run back down the hill and try to get out of Dodge. But this guy's like, if they tell us to come over, we'll just go over and whoop them. There's no backing up now. You've stood up in front of the church. You've told everybody you're going to do something for God. That's why it's like, you know, you commit publicly and you say, I'm going to serve. I'm going to do something. And that brings you to a third word I want you to write down. Then I'll give you what it's all about and we'll be done. And that is, I want you to write down beside the word 12, number 12, determine. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me. The Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands, upon his feet, his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and the armor bearer slew after him. And at that first slaughter, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers. They trembled in the earthquake. It was a great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. And the Lord saved Israel that day. And the battle passed over to Bethaven. Now, before I explain that, I need you to underline in verse 23, notice who did the work. The Lord saved Israel that day. None of us ever do anything for God that he doesn't do. You don't preach a message he doesn't come through and make it work. You don't witness to people. If he doesn't step in and God doesn't work, it doesn't matter. By the way, your money doesn't do much if God ain't in it. The whole point is it's a God thing. And if it's not a God thing, we're not going to be blessed and not going to be used. Can I get an amen right there? So what we got going on here is the Lord saved. But it took a man who would dream. It took a man who would discover, risk himself. It took a man who would say, let's go forward. I'll walk you through it in a second. But I do want you to know, 1 Samuel 13:22, I need you to know, it says, there came to pass in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were Saul and Jonathan, except for Jonathan, Saul and Jonathan. Verse 19, it's 1 Samuel 13:19, there's no smith. They got rid of all the blacksmiths, lest the Lord, lest the Israelites would make swords. So let me go through this with you right quick if I could. I want you to go back with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. I'm just going to repeat some things to you. I want to talk to you. Listen to me. I really believe there's something very special about all of us. We are born again believers. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence, and He wants to use us. We're to yield our members as instruments of righteousness. Romans chapter 6, we are to say to Him, it's my reasonable service. I'm to give my life a living sacrifice. And let me just tell you, I believe you want to do more than you're doing. I believe you want to see God step in and do something. I believe there's a dream in your heart like I dreamed as a young boy. In Philippians 2:13, the Bible says it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When I went to everybody I could, man, this is 1973-4, I'd go to every preacher came through, I'd say, how do I know if I'm called to preach? And they'd say, oh, you'll know. I said, help me, how do I know if I'm called to preach? Oh, you'll know. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Every preacher I knew ran from the call. Every one of them would say stuff like this, like, I felt like God wanted me to preach, but I didn't want to. So I was trying to get out of Dodge. And God knocked me down. An anvil fell out of heaven and hit me in the head. A mule kicked me. Whatever it took, but finally, God, kill my kids, but I'm doing what God wants. I'm sitting there going the whole time going, that ain't me. Truth is, if He just let me know He wanted me, I'm in. I kept going, here am I. Here am I, send me. Skinny guy from the farm, here am I, send me. I think you might have that dream. I think it's already there. That youth director told me that day, he said, Austin, why don't you stop it? He said, why do you think you want to do something for God? What do you think that's in your heart? I said, I don't know. I just want to. He said, well, the devil didn't put it there. And you didn't put it there. I wonder if he put it there. And I went, you're kidding. He said, read Philippians 2:13. He said, it's God that wills and does in you of His good pleasure. And he said, if you want to do something like it, do you ever think He might be making you want to? And I went, you're kidding. All this time I could have said I was called. But it's easy to say you're called. I was already a youth director in a church. I started when I was 19. I was on staff. I was on full-time youth director. And going to college, and that's all I did. But I couldn't tell them if I was called or not. I was scared. That's what takes you down to 1 Samuel 14:8. Discover ourselves. 14:11, discover yourself. You have to take a chance. You have to risk yourself. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I think we hear about a guy that gives big money and we think, I could do that. Man, I got money. I'm scared. They'll say I'm proud. They'll say I'm manipulating. They'll say bad things about me. I said, well, tell them about we'll do something for God. I'd like to preach. I'd like to go soul winning. I'd like to teach a Sunday school class. I'd like to run a bus route. But I'm afraid to tell anybody. That's who I was. That's exactly who I was. But it's time to stand and be counted. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 17:32, changing stories, but it gives you the idea. In 1 Samuel 17:32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight. Now watch this. I really want you to catch this. Every one of us know how big God is. Every one of us know God does big things. I personally believe that when Goliath was bellowing out and mocking God, that everybody in Israel knew this. God could take him out. God could use a man and do some big stuff. But everybody's like, I know he could. I don't want to risk myself. I think all the apostles were on the boat, and Jesus comes walking, and when Jesus says, get out of the boat, they're all like, I know he could do it, but I ain't getting out. I know he could make you walk on water. Think about the day Jesus turned with a handful of fish and bread, and he said, feed 5,000 people, and they had to step out with nothing in their hands, really, and feed all those people. They knew, but they had to risk it. Stand and be counted. The giant's bellowing, and David walks up, and when he walks up, David goes, well, Saul, have no fear. I'm here. I'll go after and whip him right now. Well, that sounds awful cocky and arrogant. That's what I felt about wanting to surrender to God and to be used of God. But you got to share your dream. You got to share your dream. You got to say, I want to do this. In 1 Samuel 17, 33, you have to prepare for doubters. You have to prepare for doubters. Now, this isn't the Jonathan story, but I think it just parallels it so well. Now, watch this. David said, Saul said to David, you are not able. Is that not what you're hearing right now? You're not able to give. You're not able to witness. You're not able to. And you got good excuses. And good, I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too timid. I'm not able. I got a family. I messed up in this way. And you got 1,000 reasons to not go fight Goliath. You got 1,000 reasons not to climb that hill and fight the Philistines. And you know in your heart, if you ever say you're going to do something, they're all going to come out. I want you to notice what happens. I don't have time to go through it, but David's family will tell him, you punk, go home to the few sheep your daddy's got at the home. We don't believe in you. His friends don't believe in him. The king doesn't believe in him. And Goliath doesn't believe in him. But David knows, I got to take a stand. I got to do what God wants me to do. That's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to give you the last one, determine. Look at 1 Samuel 14, 12 through 23. 12 and 13, excuse me. Leaders must pay a price. If you're going to be used of God, you have to pay a price. It's hard to step out and do what God wants you to do. Now watch, would you listen to this? I don't know anything about your church. Really don't. I did send a message to the missionaries and they said, say hi to you. And they saw their pictures going by there. And Ken and Bloom from Taiwan said, boy, or he's in Singapore, but he was happy. I don't know anything about your church except what the guys have told me. But let me tell you what happens. I believe almost all of us dream. I think a few of us have discovered ourselves and taken a risk. And many of us have sat back down when we took the risk. We were brave enough to say, preacher, I think God might want me to. And then we kind of backed off. We don't tithe like we said we were going to. We don't give like we said we were going to. We don't show up for Sunday school. And we don't teach and we don't disciple. And we don't do what we said we were going to do. Because it's easy to dream. It's harder to discover yourself. But the real key to everybody's going to be, get in the fight and don't quit. Get in the fight and don't quit. He said in 1 Samuel 14, 12, show you a thing. And they said, come up to me. Can I just tell you real quick? Watch. Just watch. This is what happens. Jonathan climbs up there. And they say, come here, we'll show you a thing. And Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and says, God's with us. We're going to win today. And they decide to just one at a time see if they can whip him. That was the dumbest thing in the world. But they line up like one at a time, like dominoes. He comes across there, he slaps that one down, and he doesn't even have time to kill him. And so the armor bearer stabs him with his spear. So he's going, bam, bam. He gets 20 guys in before everybody realizes this guy's going to burn the house down. You know what I think? Are you going to listen to this? I've been doing this a long time, and I'm the timid guy that never believed God could do something with me. I don't believe Jonathan's that good with a sword. I don't believe he's that good. I believe when he grabbed that sword and stepped forward, the Holy Spirit of God said, hang on, son, watch what I can do when you surrender to me. Watch how I can step in. And I really believe God was up there, whether it was an angel, however he was doing it. But old Jonathan, they don't even have anybody to practice with. They got two swords. in the whole kingdom. Two swords. But God did something because he determined to go and pay the price. Now, let me tell you some steps real quick and I'm done. You got to win small victories first. You got to win small victories first. I'm back to David with you. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 37, I'm not going to take the time to read it for the sake of time, but listen to this. The king says, David, you could never, ever whip Goliath. And David's answer is telling. He said, you know what? A lion and a bear came to get my sheep. I grabbed him by the hair of his chinny chin chin. I bopped him in the nose, knocked him out. It was the power of God in me. And the same God who helped me beat a lion and the same God who helped me beat a bear, he'll help me beat that giant. Now, can I just tell you what that amounts to? You know, if you can't do your daily Bible reading, you're probably in pretty bad shape. See, if you can't beat that one, what you going to do? If you're not a giver, what are you going to do? If you won't share faith, if you miss services, if you come in late, if you got a bad attitude, if you're holding on to bitterness, you see, what God wants us to do is fight little fights before he gives us big fights. Faithfulness. Stick in there. Do what God's called you to do. Act on your faith. 1 Samuel 17:45. You go with the right power. None of us will ever be used of God if we go in our own power. David steps out to fight Goliath. And David says in 45, then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You realize what happened? David didn't go. David's good with a slingshot. He's really good with a slingshot. David's a brave young man. He's not afraid to fight a lion and a bear. But David knows he could never do anything big for God. It had to be God that did it. That's what all of us have. I think maybe you're sitting there and thinking, there are steps I ought to take. The Holy Spirit's already dealt with me. When it went, I ought to look unto Jesus. I ought to realize why I'm alive. And I know God wants me to take some steps. And you should do that right now. You want to do something for God. You hunger to do something for God. So step up. Beat pornography. Get it out of your life and get victory. Hey, get holiness in your life and serve Jesus. Surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. Have victory in your life. Win small battles. And every time you win one, God will give you another one to fight. He'll let you go from a lion to a bear to a giant. By the way, when David killed Goliath, that wasn't much. It's going to be at least 10 more years before he gets the kingdom. It's a long, hard fight as we mature and grow. Every missionary ought to prove themselves in a church where they work, where they can see that happen. Let me give you two more. 1 Samuel 17:46. You have to have the right purpose. He says there, the last part of the verse, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. When David steps out to fight with Goliath, he doesn't go, you got a sword, you got a shield, and you got a spear, but I got a slingshot and I'm really good. He steps out and says, I come in the name of God. And then he says, we're not doing this so I can be known as the king or powerful or mighty or my name or my glory. We're here so the whole world will know there's a God in Israel who hears and answers prayer. God wants to take some of us that can't go and stand in front of a theater and preach to all those people and stand on a car and preach at the bowling. He's going to take some of us that aren't as bold and he's going to do something big with us because he wants to prove it's his power and his ability. I'll give you one more verse that you can consider with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible for ministry. 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. Starts with grace and ends with grace. But there are two things in the middle of it I want you to see. And I think almost always we skip over it and see only the grace part. You know what he said? In fact, is I wonder how Peter felt when he read this book. When Peter reads this, Paul says in this verse, I worked harder than everybody. That includes you, Peter. I worked my rear off. You know, you can't serve God without it costing and sweat and work. Paul said, I labored more than you all. But here's the verse, the part of the verse I want you to take home. I want you to dream. I want you to dream about what God could do. I want you to know that God has gifted you and empowered you and equipped you and put you in a church like this so you can do big stuff. So that dream is real. But you need to take a step, take a risk, let people know what you're going to do. And then you got to just say, from now till Jesus comes, I'm in the fight. I'm going to keep doing whatever God's called me to do. But here's what I'd like to say to you. That verse says, His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. What's that grace? That's really not about salvation. It's about work, ministry. Did you know God spiritually gifted you to do something for Him? But most of us will dig a hole and wrap it in a napkin and bury it till He comes back. It will be in vain. The Apostle Paul says, oh, you gave me a gift. You gave me an ability. You gave me something I could do for you, and I didn't waste it. I worked hard, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God. I'd like you to listen to this real quick. You can sing, but you're not singing. You could witness, but you're not witnessing. You could pray, but you're not praying. You could give, but you're not giving. All the money I have, He gave me. Is that a true statement or not? All the money. Do you know all the mental ability I have, He gave me. Do you know all the personality I have, He gave me. It's all His grace. How many of us are wasting it? We're kind of like the guy that says, you never give me the ball. Playing basketball, it's down to 2 seconds, and the coach says, I want to give the ball to somebody. And this one kid never gets the ball, and they give it to him, and he blows it. Paul said, oh, whatever you give me, I'm going to use it. Whatever you give me, I'm going to use it. It's always funny. The Lord gave 5 talents, guy came back with 10. The Lord gave 2 talents, guy came back with 4. The guy gave 1 talent, and the guy was like, talented, gifted, given. But he said, I don't know, serving God's hard. He's tough, He's mean. I'll wrap it in a napkin and bury it, and I'll give it to Him when He comes back. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't think you ought to be a missionary. I don't know what you ought to do. I don't think you ought to give all your money. I don't know what you ought to do. But this much I know. You belong to Jesus. You need to go to Him and say, this is who I am. This is what I have. I know you gave it to me. And I'm here to ask you, what do you want me to do? I'm asking you to dream. Dream about God doing something with you. Some of you got money. You could just really make a difference around the world and here at this church. Some of you got talents that aren't being capitalized on for the kingdom. Some of you got connections you could be witnessing and bringing people to Jesus. And you dream about it. Sometimes when you hear a pastor speak, you're like, I want to do that. Let's do something. Dream about God doing.